This is Valley Edition. I'm Carrie Klein. People in the Valley give back to their communities in ways both big and small. Collectively, these efforts can make a huge difference in the lives of others. FM89's Kathleen Schock discussed the impact of philanthropy and volunteerism with Dawn Simmons, professor of humanics at Fresno State, and Laura Fisher of the Kings Tulare Homeless Alliance. Also joining the conversation were Lester Moon, executive director of Hands in the Community in Visalia, and Zachary Dara, CEO of Fresno's Poverello House.
So, Zach, we'll start with you. You've been working in philanthropy in the Valley for a long time, and I'm wondering, from your perspective, where are the areas in which people can really make a difference? What are some of the ways in which you would like to see the community give back?
Sure, yeah. So something that's really special about the San Joaquin Valley, I think, is the heart and spirit of service. And I think anybody who's been in a nonprofit field for a while, you see that people want to be part of serving others and helping others. I think it starts at the baseline that anybody can give their time and give of their skills to serve and to help make an impact in the community, whatever it might be. I think it starts with also figuring out what a person loves to do, what excites them, what are their skills, what are things that they think that they could give, and then finding the right place and the right fit for that.
So, Lester, this segues perfectly into the work of Hands in the Community. Tell us about that project and how you're connecting people with skills in areas where they could be of help.
Yeah, I was just, as I was listening to Zach, I realized that we don't have any one organization, business, church, or group. We have a conglomerate of people that are involved in us. So we reach out to churches, we reach out to businesses, service clubs, and individuals. And so sometimes we have just one person giving a ride. We have a group from a youth group going out and cleaning a yard. We have a business going out and painting a house or building a ramp, or we have, you know, service clubs going out and doing things in the similar fashion. So we rely on pretty much the entire community.
So, Laura, you coordinate community engagement for the Kings Tulare Homeless Alliance. In your work, what have you learned about what motivates people to get involved?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's a lot of different things, but I think Zach really hit it on the head where in this community, people want to give back. It's kind of ingrained in the ethos of the Central Valley of helping our neighbors when they're in need. So right now we're planning our Project Homeless Connect event that's going to be in January. And that's the epitome of how can people give back to people who are down on their luck, are living on the streets, are in an emergency shelter. And it's an opportunity for volunteers, for agencies to all come together and really support and lift up those people. So it's ingrained in the community, I think.
Don, do you agree?
I agree that it's ingrained in the community. There is a generosity of spirit here that is unlike many other places, particularly in California. I think part of that comes from the idea that there's also so much need here. And we know that statistically that people who live sometimes below the poverty line are much more likely to give. They're much more likely to donate. They're much more likely to be generous with, in many ways, what they don't have. And so they're giving out of that own sense of need. This is my neighbor. They're in the same situation that I am. And so in many ways, where we are here economically creates an attitude of generosity. And that's not like some other places that might have more financial means and be doing better economically. Here we go against that. And in places like Kings County and Tulare and down in Kern County, giving is up. People are giving more when there's even less to give.
I'm really surprised to hear that, but Zach, you seem to be nodding in agreement. Is that your experience as well?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it too, and just, you know, echoing what you said, is that people in this community at some point may have been helped by somebody else in the community along the way. And so as they grow up and they start raising their family here, even if they, you know, are in challenging socioeconomic situations, saying, well, I remember back when, you know, I went to what, in my case, I went to Poverello House, and our family, we ate meals at Poverello House when we were growing up. Well, now that I'm grown up and my kids, we should go help Poverello House to feed other people. And so it's kind of that cyclical giving as well. And because of our socioeconomic challenges here, the chances are good that along the way, many of the folks in our community have received help from many of the great organizations that are our community, whether it's food or housing, shelter, clothing, whether it's from the faith-based community, you know, whatever it might be. And so it's that natural kind of, well, now I want to give back and be part of helping other people as well.
We experience quite a bit in our community people who are applying for jobs with our agencies, either our agency or our partners' agencies, who actually have lived experience experiencing homelessness. So maybe they lived in an emergency shelter, they were on the streets for a period of time, and now that they've, you know, gotten their life on track, they're moving on. They actually want to give their career to helping people in similar situations. So there's kind of all of these different levels of how you can give back. It's, you know, it's volunteering, it's making donations. It's also on an extreme level, kind of giving your career to it as well.
If I can follow up on that, a significant number of our students in humanics at Fresno State, which is the certificate for community benefit and nonprofit leadership, have experienced a great need in their lives, and mm-hmm. they've been served by the very communities now where they want to get a degree and get certified and then go to work for an organization like the one that served them when their family was experiencing homelessness or when their family was hungry, when they were a foster youth, when they had just gotten out of incarceration. They want to go back and they want to work in the very areas that had served them as well. It's really not unusual for my students to go and do a volunteer service project at an organization where they had just been a resident or had just mm-hmm. been a client maybe 2 years ago.
Wow.
And I just actually heard from a humanics scholar who had homelessness in their background, who reached out to me at Poverello House and just wanted to see how they could fit in and how they could give back and connect with the organization. But they're from the humanics program, and this program is putting out leaders in our community who are doing big things in organizations like Poverello House and all across the community. It's a special
program. The give and the give back.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They are giving back what really mattered to them.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Valley Edition on Valley Public Radio. I'd like to bring Lester Moon into the conversation. You know, we're talking about the ways in which people can give back to their communities, ostensibly to make the community a better place. But the act of volunteerism, it also provides selfish benefits for people as well. Can you speak to what you've heard from your volunteers over the years about how the experience of giving back has benefited their own lives?
Well, one of the things that we are currently doing is adopting families for Christmas, of course, and we have churches involved, we have businesses involved, we have individuals involved, and every year we do this, I get the stories that come back about, hey, we did this, but when we went and delivered the groceries, when we delivered the presents, and in some cases families were completely adopted with like a Christmas tree and everything, they are just overwhelmed with the thankfulness that they're receiving from our clients, who say that they just wouldn't have had a great Christmas, or they wouldn't have had any Christmas at all. And so these individuals come back and they say, I was blessed. I was overwhelmed with their thankfulness. So, and I wanted to mention something that Don was saying, as that the people that are being served are coming back to us and saying, okay, we've been given something. What could I do for your organization? I see that a lot.
That's remarkable. Zach, I'm sure that you probably have had some incredible stories at the Poverello House as well.
Absolutely right. I mean, think about, even if you're coming to Poverello House just to serve a meal, you're not necessarily solving hunger for, you know, for the community, or solving hunger for that particular person or family. However, you serving that meal is giving something back to you far greater than really when you're talking about, you know, societal impact or whatnot. But that's just the start for people. You know, it's just the start for people. Hey, the feeling that I got when I went and I helped someone and I served a meal at Pavarello House, I want to find out what's the next thing that I can do. Is there something more that I can do? And for some folks, even that could turn into financial. You know, we see giving at far greater amounts and with far greater frequency with people who have volunteered with the organization. And so it just starts with that first step of coming, hey, where can I help out? What do you need? In the warehouse, feeding a meal, whatever it might be. But obviously the benefits, the personal benefits of giving back is something that lasts, right? And it's something that people will remember forever, that hopefully it's more than one time. But that one time when I went and I helped somebody in need, I remember that. That had a huge impact on my life. And now here's something that I'm doing now because of that. And because of that experience.
I'm here today because when I was a little kid, I lived at the end of a dirt road in a two-room house with no electricity, no running water in upstate New York. Yes, we had winter. And families would come at Thanksgiving. Families would come back at Christmas time to provide food and gifts. And outside of my grandparents, that might be the only other gifts we received. As a child, I felt that. You know, and it was in my heart, you know, and I never forgot that. So I'm in a nonprofit. I serve Tulare Kings County, and I think that's why I'm here today. And I imagine there's going to be more and more people. So it's kind of coming full circle.
That's an incredible story. Thank you so much. You know, Don, I know that you've worked with a number of community benefit organizations to increase community engagement in the region. Tell us about that work and what goes into helping inspire people to get involved.
I think people have natural connections to the organizations that they're attracted to. Either they've been served by them, they feel a warm spot. You know, a lot of people are motivated by their faith to volunteer, to give financially. And other people are motivated by just a desire to be a real contributor in their community, not just to be a person who lives here, but a person who thrives here. They know that volunteering helps them to do that. And to help organizations become welcoming places that are organized enough to treat volunteers well enough that they want to return. The research says that if an adult has one really bad volunteer experience, it negates many other volunteer experiences. They're less likely to go anywhere else and volunteer. And so one really great volunteer experience where they're recognized and where they're thanked and where they're actually acknowledged that you came, they're not looking for plaques and they're not looking for medals. What they're looking for is an acknowledgement. You were here and the time you spent here mattered. Just someone to say that to them. And so our work and my work is to help organizations be able to do that better, to have really good volunteer experiences, because volunteerism is just time donation. And we make a lot of fuss over people who write large checks. We don't make as much fuss over people who give large amounts of their life and their time and their energy. Some of the volunteers that I know with organizations where I serve literally stay awake at night thinking about, oh, how can I make this better? What can I do here? You know, can I come in a little earlier and do a little bit more? And that kind of energy needs to be honored and awarded and recognized in our community, because that's what's making a real big difference. You'll say, you know, there's a little science to this, that the amygdala in your brain lights up when you give. It lights up when you volunteer. It lights up when you drop dollars into that kettle or into that basket. And it creates serotonin. We know that people who give and volunteer tend to live longer, that people who give and volunteer tend to have, I'm not sure how they get this, be about 67% happier. And the research says if 67% happier is something you're attracted to, then yeah, I want to do that. I could use 67% more happiness. That will work.
I think we could all use that.
Yeah, we could all use that. But also, just what it does for your body, what it does for you socially, compounds onto what it does for our community and what a difference it makes. We wouldn't have as much affordable housing here in Fresno if it weren't for volunteers. We wouldn't have people being fed in corners of the county that You know, ordinarily, they couldn't have that kind of food, and they'd be hungry if it weren't for volunteers. And so I'm glad that I get to help organizations do that a little bit better and put the benefit in community benefit organizations.
So, Laura, this is the time of year that people associate with giving, but your work, the work of all of you, is year-round. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways, beyond, of course, obviously, financial gifts,
sure,
that the community can really provide sustaining support for the work that you do with the Homeless Alliance?
Absolutely. So we're kind of the hub for Kings and Tulare County for people experiencing homelessness. We're kind of the filter system. So we're connecting with all of the different agencies that are helping people experiencing homelessness. The number one thing we get requests for are socks. It's cold outside, especially right now, but even in the summer, it's getting chilly at night. And people are sleeping outside, they're sleeping in their cars. So socks have a huge impact. And not black socks. We request white and gray socks because it's really hard for people who are living on the streets to tell how dirty their socks are if they're black already. So
that's so interesting. But so it makes perfect sense.
Yep. So we request white and gray socks. We won't turn away black socks, but there's also always a need for hygiene kits. So we have staff members who are boots on the ground. They're walking the riverbanks. They're connecting with people experiencing homelessness. And that's a really tough barrier between someone who's living on the streets and an outreach worker. It's a hard barrier to get through. If there's some peace offering, something that they can give in a hygiene kit, a little baggie with, you know, a travel size shampoo, conditioner, body wash, bar of soap, deodorant, something like that. What I recommend to some of my friends is when you go to a hotel, grab those little hotel shampoos and conditioners, throw them in your backpack or your suitcase, and give them to me when you see me next. And those add up, and we are constantly passing those out to people. There's a lot of pride in feeling clean, in how you smell and how you're presenting yourself. And if you're able to give something that's going to give someone back a little piece of their humanity, that's a huge deal. So that's one really simple way year-round. When you go to a hotel, maybe you bring your own shampoo, snag that hotel bottle, and give it to an organization, not just us. There's organizations all around the Central Valley that are going to distribute those to people who are in need.
That's a really great tip. So, Zach, I'm wondering if you could weigh in on your thoughts about social media. You know, and this is something that I'm guilty of. I'm sure many of our listeners are as well. Something happens in the community that's upsetting, a tragedy. I'll declare my feelings about it on Facebook and then move on with my life, as opposed to actually giving money or giving time or getting involved. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about social media as a tool. Do you think it's helping connect people, or is it giving us an opportunity to just stay on the couch?
It depends on the person. However, social media can also be that front door. And so somebody who sees a story on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatnot, and they see a story, hopefully a positive story, right, featuring Poverello House or another organization, and go, oh, wow, I never heard of that before. Or I had no idea that Poverello House does so many other, you know, programs besides feeding people, and that sounds really interesting. Or other ways that social media can be, you know, very positive, because the thing that it does give an opportunity for organizations like Poverello House and others is to get the word out en masse. And you get a story or two, or you get a picture featuring something that can go out to tens upon tens of thousands of people. And those are folks who are seeing that post and going, oh, Poverello, I need to go down there and give some time. Or, oh, boy, there's a donate button right there on the story. I'd sure love to give directly to what they're doing there at POV or whatnot. For most of the time, I think social media is a great tool. It's an opportunity to also engage with younger populations. And so I think most nonprofit organizations who receive donations and their donor bases are aging. There's nothing particularly wrong with that, except for at some point in time, that donor base is going to have to cycle over. And these generations grew up on social media. right? I'm a old millennial, but you know, I remember going to college when Facebook was only for college students, right? And so that was a, you know, first early entry into this social media land, right? And so this generation and new generations are also having new platforms and new ways that they're engaging, but that is a tool to reach those generations that may know nothing about Poverello House or nothing about other great organizations. And so social media can be that connector point.
Great. Well, I wish we had more time to talk, but I thank you all so much for being with us today and for all the work that you're doing to benefit our community. So thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen.